tuned in to.
Podcast co-host of Jam, Joe and Michelle's Dance Podcast. I can't believe we're doing a season four recap.
It's nuts. It flies by. And hi to you, Michelle Tolson.
It does fly by. And it flies by because, number one, our guests are just awesome and have so much knowledge and such great stories. I love how funny some of them are. And I get to see you weekly. Yay!
Yes. Bonus on top. Yeah. It's funny reflecting back, like, you know, before we hopped on. And I love doing these recaps because it allows us to go back and reflect. And I usually have a big smile on my face and I'm usually cracking up because I'm thinking of some of parts of our conversations. And it also, if anything, is gratitude. Like, it's crazy who we got to speak with this season. It's unreal.
Teaser. It's crazier who we have on for next season.
Shh, don't tell anybody. It's the people that are being teed up and who we already spoke to for next season. Listener, we're coming out hot out the gates, y'all.
Yeah. So studio owners, educators, you just need to like keep our podcast on loop moving just because of the education we are bringing to you. Because I'm educated every time we listen to it, but it just gets better and better. I mean, we started with Phil LaDuca this year, this season.
That's one of the episodes, and this is, you know, thing against other guests, but that was such a memorable conversation that we had with Phil. I thought he was so vulnerable and so interesting, and it was just amazing to dive into all the stories of his very long careers, especially his career in theater and the arts outside of how he's known with his amazing footwear.
Yeah, no, I have known Phil for years from dance competitions back in the day in, you know, 1936 when I moved to New York and got off the boat and at Ellis Island.
I can't. If Keisha Parrish was here, she'd hit you across. She'd smack you across the street.
She'd throw a shoe at me. But yeah, knowing him for so long, I didn't know those stories. I knew him as the person that made the incredible shoes. So we are so lucky that he brought us his vulnerability. Ooh, that's a tough one on a Sunday morning recording.
That's a good one.
And I only had one mimosa. But was so honest with our listeners about how his career could have been longer had he been a different person in the rooms. And I think that is really special for our listeners to hear and for our young dancers to understand moving into a possible professional role. How you treat people and how you act in the rooms makes a difference.
Yeah. I mean, it's the likability factor. It's not the first time we talked about it and discuss it on this podcast, but it was cool that it came up in the conversation with Phil,
who is so well known.
We talked about it a lot. Yeah. I mean, we have stories that I remember being on a gig. I've told the story once or twice before. I don't know if it was on this podcast where I was in a rehearsal with somebody that was reputably a very great dancer. And he was, and still is, a very great dancer. And we were workshopping for a project, and he did some things in the rehearsal room that decreased his likability, and he wasn't welcome back after lunch. And it's a shame because my man has talent, but talent can get you that first gig, but if you want a career, you have to serve the larger project, and likability is on that list.
And I hope that our listeners are, you know, want to be professional performers and our studio owners and dance moms hear that and take something away from it. Talent goes a long way, but it's not the only thing that's going to get you the gig. And I think that's been reiterated over our four seasons. Almost every person that has had a professional career has been able to have longevity in the career because of their likability.
Yeah, which is part of working well with others. You have to be able to work well with others.
And speaking of working well with others, then I think we went into two of my students, former students, were guests, and I'm so proud of them, Daniel Gold and Tara Harrison. And Tara was a mind, body, soul episode, which I thoroughly enjoy hearing how, you know, working in the Pilates world and the wellness world can change what you do. And she had a major injury. And then Daniel is just doing such great work in the LGBTQ community and teaching at BDC. I am one proud dance teacher as I sit here talking to you, Joe, that these people, these young people that I knew back in the day, probably 1946, not 1936, just have really gone on and are thriving in their chosen professions.
Yeah. Yeah. Daniel's classes, like the video clips he'll post once in a while from teaching, are just awesome. He's really put some fun stuff out there. Yeah.
They're so good. And then speaking to our friend Amanda Spilinga, coming here from Italy and forming her own dance company was really interesting to me. And I've known Amanda, but hearing the story, I can't imagine coming from another country, trying to make it here and starting your own company and figuring it all out. You know, when first of all, English isn't your first language, number one, and then trying to figure out the resources and grants and whatnot. And so that was really great, a really interesting and great conversation to have.
And I think she has been bringing something different. But it's so organically building a dance community and fusing different styles and bringing street dance into the classroom and having others want to organically learn other styles. I just love what she's up to. And I think that story, that coming to America story, reminds me of a former guest from another season, Oren Kornblum, who's doing awesome stuff too. And even though this wasn't the season he was on, he's kind of kicking butt as well.
At the Wick Theater, doing great things, setting four shows this year. Really proud of him, co-worker and now friend, which I just love. And he just set Anything Goes down there, and a former student of ours was able to do it. Graduated from AMDA and got his first job down at the Wick doing Anything Goes. So
bam.
That was pretty cool. That's how we roll. But then speaking of friendly and funny and just an all-around great person besides Oren, how about Mr. Donnell?
Oh, Matthew, he's just the best. And I didn't want to mean to say that in like, look at the cute puppy. That's how it came off. Sorry. Aw.
No, I get it. No, that's the vibe he gives.
If he's listening, which Matthew's a listener, since you're listening. No, he's a gem. Such a gem. Such a cool dude.
And talking about the ballet world and what that's like for him and working professionally and his amazing video that he puts out yearly of his, how do we put this? How do
whoopsie
we talk
do.
About this?
It's a little whoopsie-doo.
That whoopsie-doo? Oh, I like that. The whoopsie-doo.
I think that's the technical term he was doing. I think that's the technical term when you do a little mini like wipe out on stage and pop right back up. It's called a whoopsie-doo.
I like a whoopsie-doo. Is that like a whoopie pie? It's always about food or drink for me. You know that.
Amen, sister.
But I love speaking with Matthew, and I hadn't seen him or have spoken with him in many years. We're friends via Facebook. But I got to know him while judging back in the day, and we've kept in contact. And I just love the work that him and his wife, a former Rockette, are doing in Pennsylvania and just teaching the children's how to point their feet.
Yep. Making those biscuits look better. You know what I mean?
Putting some gravy on those biscuits. How about our first episode of Joy? How about that episode when just people that could come in and hang out with us decided to come in and hang out with us? And then you gave me the best surprise ever because I did not know Sheila was going to be joining us.
Yeah. Listen, if you listen, that was such a fun, it was our joyful episode. And we just reached out to a handful of former guests and said, we're recording it this time. Pop on and say hello. And we had a handful that joined us. Keisa Parrish, who was on earlier in the season. And then Sheila Barker was the surprise guest. Brandon Kelly and Tommy Scrivens. And of course, Dr. Chelsea Parati popped on to say hello and share their joy and share their wisdom. It was right around the holiday time, right? So it was just kind of a really nice feel good. I don't think a smile came off my face after hours of hanging up with everybody.
No. And then we finished out the season with some really amazing guests, Mark, Ian, Alex, and Mara. And it just kept getting better and better. Mara is one of the funniest people I know, by the way.
She's very into what she's doing at all times, which is amazing.
So could you ask for better for a fourth season, Joe?
No, heck of a lineup. And the fact that we're already teeing up, we recorded one episode and we can't say who it is yet. And then we're teeing up just some really, we're swinging for the fences, y'all. I mean, we're out there, we're out in the outfield, but we are swinging for the fences and have been just blessed and lucky enough that people continue to say yes to us. And that's a thank you and shout out to the listeners for supporting the show. That's a shout out to the former guests who have been on and being a part of the show just really helped legitimize that, you know, they like talking to us at least a bit to do the show. So we're getting good feedback, Michelle. I'm proud of us.
Season five is just going to be the season of living my best life. Just having some of these dance legends that have given of their time readily and are willing to share their incredible stories and giving back. You know, we don't have a lot of gatekeepers left for the founding of jazz and the founding of tap and the founding, especially not ballet, but like to have people. You know,
we haven't dug up those people from like, what, the 1500s, King Louis or whatever king in France.
You know, whoever those started people.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited that some of these gatekeepers.
We don't have that history. We don't have, we talk about this all the time. We use the word responsibility. Like there's a responsibility for our generation to kind of continue to learn and expand our learning of things. And I didn't do that until not too long ago, to be honest. I had what I knew from my experiences, which I'm proud and lucky to have, and take those experiences with us. But it's our responsibility to expand on the experiences that we put ourselves in, especially at our age, to continue learning. You know, there's not like a studio where you and I are going to go sign up. Besides going back to a college and getting a degree in that regards, there are other ways that you and I have proven to each other and to whoever's willing to listen that we can expand on learning. And this podcast is one of the ways that you and I decided to have conversations about dance. But getting into this, I'll be honest, I didn't think it was going to be this education that you and I are getting. Like at all.
Not at all.
I mean, I guess I should have thought about it more, but to be honest, I was like, let's just talk dance to each other and bring a friend on once in a while. And that's kind of what we started doing. We're still doing it, but when I reflect back, and I know this is a recap, so it's a good time to reflect, it's been unreal who we've spoken to and hearing the stories. And I never thought it was going to be the education that it is. So the fact that we're just talking to each other and learning through conversation, old school conversation and not just like a DM or a comment on a social media post, and having real conversations with people and that connectivity and that connection with one another has been my latest way of getting educated. And I think it's important to make sure we're passing on those foundations. And I think you and I are putting now more time into trying to help create a platform use this platform that we've created to do so. It's a little bit of a common conversation, wouldn't you say, on this episode or on this podcast, of adding history and adding culture and keep mentioning the names that have been trailblazers in styles such as jazz and tap that have and more of an American foundation. And they're still more, I would still call them newer styles in relations to the centuries of dance, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I know we maybe didn't think we were going to start that way, but from episode one, the questions that we have asked have brought us to where we are. I never think we took it lightly. I think we knew we had a responsibility to bring awareness and education and joy to our listeners. And at that point, we didn't know who our listeners were going to be, but we knew we had a couple students at least that were going to listen and a couple studio owners that were going to listen. And Matthew Donnell that was going to listen. So I'm really happy that we're able to bring free education to our listeners, to our Jam Fam.
Yeah. And I hope people receive this as that. You know, every once in a while, I know we're kind of goofy and off topic, but I hope that at the end of the day, we've gotten really nice feedback with, I appreciate it, people feeling like, oh, I listened to your podcast when I'm on the way to teach, when I feel like I have no clue what I'm going to teach that day, or I need a little bit of inspiration or whatnot. And we're lucky enough to have the guests on that provide that. But I think, and additionally, getting that education or advice for anybody and wherever their journey is for dance is just important. And if we're making a difference in that way, then that's why I'm excited to do another season after another season. And I'll be honest, I would do this if it was just getting to see you once a week virtually and chatting about whatever, all things dance. But yeah,
it's a home run. Not mad about that at all. But I do love the people that we have been able to meet. And some of them have been your friends that I got to meet. And some of them have been my friends that you've gotten to meet. And some of them have just been people we both wanted to meet. And we just said, let's go for it. And they did it. So, Joe, now that we're in a new year, I would love to know what you're focused on. You are really good with setting an intention for your year. And I know joy was a word we used a lot in 2022. Have you thought about what you wanted, what that intention is for 2023?
Yeah. Funny you've asked, Michelle. I never always set like a thing at the beginning of the year. And I think organically, joy just became a part of the conversation a lot. Everything with the season at Thrive this year to observing a lot of the classes I was teaching or studios I've gotten to work with, or talking to dance studios and other educators about maybe their frustrations of like, I think of the intensity that's happening in a lot of studios and a lot of training and this high bar of expectation that's put on the students. So I think looking at all that, I felt what was missing, and at least what I was observing, was like, this just needs a little dash of joy. And even in the students' performances half the time, I'm like, can y'all look a little friendlier? Can you guys look like you like, you're spending so many hours training, you're practicing a dance. Even if you're not even practicing a dance for the stage, can you put joy into just your training? Like the way you're receiving information and taking class and the way that you're participating today, can it look a little happier? Stop being so stressed out. So sometimes I take the responsibility on like, okay, the teacher has to create that environment, but we can't take on all of that blame, if we call it that. So anyway, so yeah, joy just became a thing for this year. And if listener, if you listen to the group episode, the little happy hour episode we had, we did do, we talked about, in air quotes, I think is how you could say it, Michelle, resolutions. And Chelsea Parati mentioned this, and I think Brandon Kelly said he's always done this, is picking just a word to almost create like a theme for your new year, or even a word. I kind of took it as even a word if I, for a new short-term endeavor, like, hey, well, I'm taking on this new project. What's my theme to kind of keep me on track? And maybe it's like in a core value sort of way, but in a way to kind of keep you on track to where you want to go. So that's a long way around the barn answering your question. But I've been leaning towards kind of what we've been doing with this podcast is the word connection. I'm kind of focusing on making good connections, and that's a better connection with myself, that's strengthening connection with my family. Not that any of these things are like suffering, but there's always room for connecting more and having it be real connection and organic connection with others. And I guess it doesn't just mean quantity, but it's more of the quality of the connections I'm making and putting my energy around people and things and projects that are going to have a higher quality. But I understand that takes me doing work, not just waiting for it to fall into my lap either. So having a deeper connection into my work, having a deeper connection into the projects I take on, having a deeper connection into just where I'm spending my time, and then vice versa, putting my time into the places that I think there's value for that quality connection. So playing with that. Haven't settled on it, but that's at least putting me in the realm of if I was going to choose a word or a direction, that's what it would be. Where, what about you, Michelle? Where's your brain kind of at for taking on this new year or whatever?
I have two, and one is specifically for me as a person, and one is specifically for me as a teacher. And as a teacher, it's empowerment. I want my students to understand they are able to do whatever they set their minds to. And I'm hoping that in my rooms, they feel empowered to go out and audition and be their best selves, because I've given them the tools to let them know you are good enough. So that's for my students. And for me, it's being authentic. And I am an authentic person. You've known me for a few years now, and you get what you get, but I don't always follow through with that when it comes to work. I'm somewhat of a yes person. And so now, knowing my worth and doing what feels good and fills my cup. Mm-hmm. Those are my shorter answers to the question.
Yeah, well, your training got you to answer the question better than I did. So
no, I don't think it was better. I've been working on it, and you and I have talked about a few of these things, and I'm recognizing, I guess empowerment goes for both personal and professional, but I think staying really true and authentic to myself in my work, in my personal life, will help me even more in my work life.
Well, I think that's a great way for people to check in with how they are right now. And at the end of the day, before you go to bed or after dinner time, is stop and go. Did I like how I spent my day today? You know what I mean? And
yeah, I do.
It's funny because I do pause on the word lucky. I try to cut it out of my vocabulary to some degree. That I pause and say, I've put my energy, I've made the changes I wanted to change in this past year, and I liked what I did today, you know? And then you can think like, what could I have done? Not how could my day have gotten better, because that is too open to other outside things, right?
Well,
my coffee could have been a little warmer when they handed it to me through the drive-thru window at Dunkin' Donuts, you know what I mean? But that's out of my control. But what could I have done? So it was like, I was overwhelmed today. Okay, I could have prepared more. I mean, it's kind of like good, better, how, you know,
yep,
that we always talk about. So yeah, no, I think that's great. I love that for you. I think that's a really great one. And it's already showcasing in your classrooms that you teach. It's already showcasing in that the students you're teaching are recognizing the type of energy you're putting into and your effort you're putting into the time you're in the studios teaching. And I think that's probably has to feel good.
It feels amazing. And you know what? It also doesn't feel like work. And that's why I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. And it fills my cup every time I step into those rooms.
What I love about you is you very, very rarely complain. And I think that's a reflection. I don't mean that towards, what I mean is you're not like, oh, I have to go into the city and teach, or, you know what I mean?
No,
you're very much like, this is what I'm doing. And I'm like, you get on the train that early? You're like, yeah.
I'm up at 5 to do that 6 a.m. train to get to school when it opens at 7 to teach my first class at 8.
Yeah.
And I don't mind, because right, I am in the place I'm meant to be right now. And I don't know if that will be 5 years, but right now I'm making a difference. And that is the reason I get up at 5 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Don't stalk me, people. Joe, I am super excited for season 5. I can't believe we've been doing it this long. It's actually not that long. It's only been like a year and a minute.
Yo, like it's a year and a minute. It was a year. Now it's a year and a minute. We've added a minute.
It's a year and a minute.
It's been a whole season. Okay. Season 5 is going to be awesome. And we're grateful for season 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if you're a new listener, hop back into season 1 or season 2 into the archives, and take a listen, because there's some good nuggets. There's some good gems back there. And some great.
3 is also really good. He didn't mention season 3, but season 3 is pretty good.
Yeah, but season 3 is like not like that long ago. You know, 1 or 2, you got to scroll. You got to scroll a bit to get back to 1 and 2. Oh, Michelle.
If you are new, and if you're not new, thank you. Make sure you just kind of get on that social media thing. We're on Facebook, Jam Joe and Michelle's Dance Podcast. We're on Instagram, Jam_dance_podcast. We're on the Twitter, Jam Dance Podcast. You can send us an email, jamdancepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow Joe and I on an Instagram if you want. You can send us a message there too, personally. We'll answer. I answer just about everything.
Well, there was that one guy. Talk about that. We'll do that on our other podcast. Yeah, don't be afraid. Nominate somebody to be on the show, or if there's a wish list guest you would just love to hear their story, send us an email or comment on a post. Send us a DM. Nominate somebody. Suggest somebody. And it can be yourself. You probably have a great story. So hit us up and say, yo, Joe, yo, Michelle, I want to be a guest on your show. And we'll get it all figured out.
It's possible. If you're a college student in a dance program right now, we'd love to hear from you too. We'd love to hear about your program. Tell us what's going on in your dance world. Joe's in a program and I'm in a program, but we don't know all the programs. So hit us up. We'd love to talk with you and see what's going on.
Yeah.
And Lin-Manuel Miranda, if you'd love to be on our show, we'd love to have you.
Oh yeah. I'm glad you got that in. I'm not sure if you got that in this season yet. So yeah, because I see you just going through your checklist. She's slowly going through her checklist and it's always on there. It's always on there. Misty Copeland, you're probably on there as well. And there's many others. And guess what? There might be some that were on the list that we crossed off the list because they're on season 5. There's your teaser, everybody.
Love it. Jam Fam, thank you for listening to us. We love you. We couldn't do this without you. Joe Nickel, you're the best podcast co-host ever.
I thought I was going to have a t-shirt like that. Best podcast co-host ever.
Did you notice my name?
Your name is, okay, people, her name's Fireball. And with that, peace out. See you, Michelle. Bye, everybody.